Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, February 6th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Zimbabwean asylum seekers commend the South African government for loosening the granting of refugee status.
We welcome this development with extreme joy and happiness. The delight we have derived from the fact that the relaxed conditions now minimize the possibility of corruption.
An American political analyst says it's unlikely that African countries may pull out of the United Nations, as suggested by President Robert Mugabe.
It's difficult to see African countries, you know, that are essentially 54 of the 193 countries pulling out.
And as usual, we'll take a closer look at women's issues. Stay tuned. Zimbabwean asylum seekers commend the South African government for loosening the granting of refugee status. The Department of Immigration has introduced a system that makes it easy and convenient for officials to randomly pick names of asylum seekers instead of the old system, which critics say was fraught with irregularities. Gabriel Shumba of the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum speaks to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about the new regulations and what used to happen at Marabastad Refugee Reception Office.
We welcome this development with extreme joy and happiness. The delight we have derives from the fact that the relaxed conditions now minimize the possibility of corruption, which has been very rampant and widespread at Home Affairs Marabastad in Pretoria. So that is the center where most Zimbabweans and many other nationalities apply for asylum and refuge. But you would find that people would queue for weeks or months on end, with the result that even when it's raining, when it's sunny and extremely hot, people will be still queuing for those papers. Then secondly, we have had people who were targeted for robbery, others for rape, etc., whilst they were standing in queues. And ultimately, they would not even get in unless they paid a certain amount to go inside. Even after going inside, because you would pay outside, then go inside, but even after going inside, you would not be attended to unless you paid somebody else, or else you would then be thrown out and asked to come another week. And so the vicious cycle continued. We are very happy that this has now been stopped. Zimbabweans coming to apply for asylum will simply put their names in a box, and they will be called from there. And the other changes that make us very happy are the changes to the length or duration of the validity of the permit itself, because asylum seeker permits that were granted from Monday and yesterday, Tuesday, now range from 6 or more months, which is a very happy conclusion to a sorrowful scenario. And lastly, those with refugee status, you have now been given 2 years, at least for those that have been in the country since 2007. And this is a welcome development, because many lost their jobs when they were trying to renew these documents, some even on a weekly basis.
But is it easy for a Zimbabwean to get asylum in South Africa?
It's not easy. It's extremely difficult, for the reason that South Africa over the years has failed to recognize that we have social, economic and also political problems in the country that can generate refugees from Zimbabwe to come to the south side of Limpopo. Secondly, the UN also not been very helpful. It has failed to recognize Zimbabweans as refugees, or Zimbabwe as a refugee-producing country. That is because they misinterpret that are working there. Because the Refugee Act simply says, if you face political, you know, one country, or you face torture, for example, you are entitled to refugee in another country. But if you remember the well-publicized case of Roy Bennett, he almost failed to get asylum in this country until he resorted to the court. So it has been very difficult. But one of the issues that make it difficult for Zimbabweans to get that asylum is also the fact that they were shy or hesitant to pay the amounts demanded by corrupt officials there. Some of them really coming from a very poverty-stricken country could not afford the amounts being asked for. So that was one of the problems. But also the other problem is our division as a country. We are not very helpful towards each other. We don't have team mentality that other countries have. For example, Ethiopians and Nigerians come together. Even if somebody is arrested, they come together to get a bail fine for him. We don't do that as Zimbabweans.
That was Gabriel Shumba of the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg, South Africa. President Robert Mugabe's heart-touching speech at the official opening of the 26th African Union Summit in Ethiopia last week, where he reiterated his call for the reform of the United Nations Security Council, has resonated a lot with intellectuals from the continent. In his hour-long speech as he ended his tenure as chair of the continental body, President Robert Mugabe argued that Africa's exclusion from the powerful five-member body of decision-makers with veto power was unjust. He suggested that African countries could pull out of it if reforms were not implemented. For perspective, we spoke with Washington-based analysts Ni Akwete and Emira Woods. Woods says it's unlikely Africa will leave the UN, but reforms are essential.
Well, first, I feel like we have to applaud President Mugabe. We don't often applaud him, but on this issue, I think he deserves applaud. Both for the speech that he gave at the UN Security Council back in September, where he raised this issue vehemently, and then again for his statement this past weekend. It's difficult to see African countries, you know, that are essentially 54 of the 193 countries pulling out. Mm-hmm. But I do think that creating political will around this question of reforming the Security Council is right on point.
Mr. Kwete, what are your thoughts on that?
Yes, I think it is an injustice not having a permanent member in the Security Council with veto powers like the others. So for me, that argument is unassailable. Question is the feasibility of it. One name, just to signify how difficult it is Frederick Douglass. Power concedes nothing. And the five permanent members want to hold on to all the power. It should be done. It's the right thing to do, mm-hmm. but it's going to be very difficult.
Ms. Woods, what are your thoughts on getting this reform done? Because President Mugabe also mentioned that there were several meetings that took place to start the ball rolling, and it never seemed to take off.
Yes, I think it's true. It's gone on for decades, this debate, right? And so I think there has to be a formal process through the General Assembly, you know, where Africa, Latin America, and Asia has had greater dominance. The G77, as they're called, the developing country nations within the UN. I think there's got to be an effort by the General Assembly to push this change, because I think leaving it within the Security Council is going to be difficult. So I think it's got to be in a coalition, as I think Ni is saying as well, particularly with other regions in the Global South that are excluded. Mm-hmm. But there has not been a formal request as far as in terms of the UN documentation mm-hmm. reflects. So I think there's got to be a formal request put forward and a live building within the General Assembly to be able to get that to take hold.
Coming back to you, Mr. Kwete, you raised the point referring to Frederick Douglass that power concedes nothing. Now, in light of that, why would the Security Council holders want to concede power by adding other forces such as countries from Africa or Latin America, etc.?
They wouldn't want to do it unless they are forced to, beyond the point where they can't resist anymore, and they will try to compromise. I mean, much the same way I look at South Africa, you know, the apartheid government did not want to give up power. When they realize that they have to give up some of it in order not to lose everything, they sign an agreement where they have more vote per head than the black majority. So I think that something like that will happen with the Security Council reform. It won't be the best, and it's not what I'm hoping for. Mm-hmm. But when I listen carefully, it seems to me they'll be more willing to admit Germany and say, okay, one other country from the south. So this is why the alliance is very important. I also think in Africa itself. From what I'm thinking, Egypt, Nigeria, and South Africa all would like to be there. I don't think the two African countries can make it. So I think you mentioned earlier, we have to rally behind one candidate. So Africa has to resolve which country it will support.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is the other thing also. I think we should assess the situation and know where the difficulties might lie. And one of the difficulties, yes, we have 54 countries, and we make a big chunk of the General Assembly. But a lot of our countries depend on these external donors mm-hmm. for their money. So frankly, I would be very surprised if Africa takes a united front. I expect some African leaders to be bought behind the scenes by being told, if you go along with this, we will cut off all your aid.
Mm-hmm. Because Africa is kind of divided into four quarters. So is there an understanding that there will be actually an easy agreement about which quarter of the continent will represent? West Africa, East Africa, Southern Africa, or North Africa?
I think, you see, that's part of the difficulty. So to summarize it and not go on too long, I think coming up with a candidate everybody can rally behind, the Africans can, is going to be a challenge in itself. It's not impossible, but we do have regional rivalries. We do have rivalries between countries, even if it is not polite to admit it outside of our continent.
Now, Ms. Woods, what would be Africa's leverage to show that if they do join the UN Security Council, they've got some power that the US, China, Britain, France, Russia can also respect?
I think when Africa acts as a bloc, they're able to actually bring tremendous power, force of will to the international community in a way that can be effective and that can have its impact on the entire world.
Associate Fellow Emira Woods of the Institute for Policy Studies. You also heard from Ni Akwete of the African Immigrant Caucus. Reporter Ndimiyake Mwakelele moderated the discussion. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In response to worsening drought conditions and increased food insecurity, the United States Agency for International Development, or USAID, announced on January 19th an additional $5 million contribution to the United Nations World Food Program, or WFP, for humanitarian assistance to Zimbabwe. This brings total U.S. government funding for humanitarian assistance to Zimbabwe to $32.5 million since June 2015, following a poor harvest across the country. According to the Zimbabwe Vulnerability Assessment Committee, an estimated 1.5 million rural Zimbabweans will face serious food shortages in the first 3 months of this year. This figure is likely to increase if El Nino, as predicted, causes continued drought and a poor April-June 2016 harvest. USAID's additional $5 million contribution will support WFP's productive asset creation activity starting in May 2016 and will provide food rations or cash transfers to over 80,000 individuals in 8 districts across Zimbabwe over a 6-month period. In exchange for the food rations or cash transfers, beneficiaries will participate in the creation or rehabilitation of community assets, including irrigation systems and dams, to improve infrastructure and livelihoods for the future. With total contributions of $32.5 million, USAID is working with its implementing partners, World Food Program, World Vision, and Cultivating New Frontiers in Agriculture, to scale up food security programs across 10 districts in Manicaland, Masvingo, and Matabele Land, north and south, reaching 450,000 people with humanitarian assistance. For more than 30 years, the American people, through USAID, have invested over $2.6 billion in Zimbabwe. Current projects include initiatives to increase food security, support economic resilience, improve health systems and services, and advance a more democratic system of governance. USAID is proud to support the World Food Program and help vulnerable Zimbabweans cope through this difficult drought, said USAID Mission Director Stephanie Funk. This program addresses immediate food security needs while gradually helping vulnerable communities build resilience to climatic shocks, and eliminating the need for food assistance in the long term.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
It's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye. Tonight, we are gladly joined by Senator Keresenzia Chabuka, who is a senator for Manicaland province under the MDCT led by Morgan Changirai. Tell us about your constituency. How would you say the situation is, especially for women?
The situation in Manicaland is now because of food. And right now, the government is failing to give people something to eat. I remember yesterday we asked the Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa about the situation people are facing in this country. In Manicaland, there is a crisis of shortage of food. And the situation right now is now about people of Zambia. If they get something from the government, they don't give anyone from the MDCT. They just distribute food in Manicaland for the people who belong to their party. So people are starving everywhere, especially in Bohera, in Kipinge district. People have nothing to put on table.
We have seen that President Robert Mugabe has declared a drought as a national disaster. How do you see that declaration helping, especially the women in your constituency?
The situation in my constituency, people are suffering. They have nothing to cook. They have nothing to eat. They have nothing they can do. Even our children, their children, they go to school without eating anything. So President Mugabe, but he is suffering. It's a non-starter to say he declare a state of emergency because he was aware of this situation. But he's traveling everywhere, not doing anything to feed the people in Manicaland. So it's a non-starter. We don't appreciate what he is saying. People are dying with hunger. Our cattle, everyone. Crying because of hunger. You are supposed to put some irrigation for this country to survive, but it's doing nothing. So don't tolerate what you are saying.
And then some might say that you are a senator yourself. What are you doing for your province in your own personal capacity?
There's nothing we can do because we are not in government.
Do you have any projects that you've put in place, especially for the women in your province?
We don't have any project because we have no money as opposition party, but we are just going telling people to prepare for next election.
Senator Chaduka, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you become a senator?
I became a senator in 2008. I was chosen by the people of Manicaland to people of Manicaland. Then in 2013, also I was voted by the people of Manicaland. That's why I became a senator.
And what would you say to some women who are out there who are also thinking of taking up such big decision-making positions like the one that you hold right now as a senator? What word of advice would you have for them?
We are advising some women to know their rights, to not get fear of taking any position in this country. Even in politics, even in any decision-making body, we are telling them to stand as a woman, to know our rights as women of Zimbabwe.
But how easy is it for you as a woman senator for you to get the respect that you feel you deserve? Do you ever feel that you are disadvantaged in any way?
Yeah, there's something like men that sometimes they don't respect us as women. If you want to take any position, you know the situation as women, you don't have money like a woman in the rural area who want to take positions. They always complain about resources.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Senator Keresenzia Chabuka, senator for Manicaland under MDCT, led by Morgan Changirai.
Thank you so much.
I'm Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye. Join me again next week when we look at other issues affecting women.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye. Now to recap today's top stories. Zimbabwean asylum seekers commend the South African government for loosening the granting of refugee status. And an American political analyst says it's unlikely that most African countries may pull out of the United Nations as suggested by President Robert Mugabe. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C., wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.